Hey, it's Pablo. Just a note here that today's show includes graphic language around allegations of sexual assault.
Dodgers ace pitcher Trevor Bauer hit with a restraining order after a woman claims he violently assaulted her during a previous sexual encounter. But now Bauer's lawyers are firing back with explosive claims of their own. Pasadena police tonight confirming that they are investigating allegations of assault aimed at Dodger pitcher Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer is the highest-paid player in Major League Baseball this season, the National League's reigning Cy Young Award winner. And today, after more than a month away from the Dodgers, the star pitcher is in court. In hearings this week, the 30-year-old Bauer faces the woman who has accused him of assault and has been granted a temporary restraining order against him. So today, we explain how a disturbing story got to this point and where it's headed next. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, August 16th. This is ESPN Daily, brought to you by Goodyear. Discover the road ahead. Goodyear. More driven. Alden Gonzalez, I have brought you here today because I am trying to understand this whole Trevor Bauer story. You have been immersed in this. This is basically your beat at this point.
Yeah, Pablo, I am a weird combination of bleary-eyed but highly caffeinated from reading court documents up until about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, basically every night this week.
Alden Gonzalez covers Major League Baseball for ESPN from Los Angeles. So the hearing that starts today, Alden, which is why you've been up all hours, explain where things stand with that, what type of case this is, because Trevor Bauer has not been arrested. He has not been charged with a crime. Help me understand where things are on the legal side of this between this 27-year-old woman whose name we are not using and Trevor Bauer. What's on the line in the hearings this week?
So, Pablo, this Bauer case, it's neither a criminal trial nor a civil proceeding. Nobody is seeking compensation here. It is simply a request from the woman in question for no contact and protection from Trevor Bauer. She has been granted a temporary restraining order. And so this week, the court in Los Angeles is going to decide whether or not to make that permanent. Now, in California, making it permanent means that he is not allowed to contact or be around that woman for up to 5 years. And Trevor Bauer could be ordered to not just stay away from the woman and not communicate with her, but maybe not also be allowed to possess any firearms.
And I understand that all of this is happening in family court. So what does that mean for these proceedings?
Pablo, that means that this is going to fall under the domestic violence category. And what that means is that both sides are going to be allowed to present their case and cross-examine witnesses. And look, the interesting thing is, according to a lot of the law experts that Tisha Thompson, my reporting partner, and I spoke with over the last few weeks, these hearings are typically pretty straightforward. They last 1 to 2 hours. No attorneys are present. And this one is decidedly different from all of those. This one's going to last a lot longer. It's scheduled out for the next 4 days. We're expecting somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 witnesses to be called. And the list of requested witnesses includes the woman herself. It includes Bauer, police officers, a doctor, a nurse, the woman's father, and her best friend. And Pablo, in family court, the burden of proof is not, quote, beyond the reasonable doubt, as it is for criminal proceedings. It's a judge taking in a preponderance of evidence and then ruling whether the restraining order expires or becomes permanent.
But there is a police investigation that is happening on a separate track. Is that right?
Yes. The police in Pasadena have been investigating this for nearly 13 weeks now, Pablo. It's in Pasadena because that is the site of the alleged assault, which is also the site of Trevor Bauer's home. They are still investigating this. This is still ongoing. They have not yet turned the case over to the district attorney's office. And, you know, they said in court documents that they're still waiting for information from third parties. And so they also say that officers testifying in the family court hearing this week could jeopardize their case.
Yeah, Alden, this is all shaping up to be a spectacle out in Los Angeles. And I know that all of this first became public in late June, because the accuser in question had filed and got granted a temporary restraining order against Trevor Bauer, and the graphic details circulated in news reports in the media right after that. So what were the basic facts of her case at that time when she initially had sought the restraining order?
So the declaration that was filed as part of that temporary restraining order included very graphic details, as well as a bunch of photographs, parts of some medical records. It spanned more than 80 pages in length in an attempt to show that she was basically assaulted by Trevor Bauer over the course of two sexual encounters at Bauer's home in Pasadena. During those instances, the declaration alleges that Trevor Bauer choked her unconscious multiple times, sodomized her without her consent, punched her all over her body and scratched her back and the side of her face, and left her with what she said and what some of the pictures show were a couple of black eyes, swollen lips, and bruises all over her body.
So that was followed by a hearing, Alden, I understand, on July 23rd. Was Bauer present on that day? What did we hear from the parties involved at that point?
Trevor Bauer was present for that hearing, which was a surprise to some of the people who were there. A lot of times, according to legal experts that we spoke to, the respondents don't show up to these temporary restraining order hearings. He was there, but not a lot was said. There was a continuance that was issued for August 2nd, and then another continuance was issued to bring us to the hearing that's going to take place this week. Now, one thing of note from that July 23rd hearing, before the continuance was granted, one of Trevor Bauer's attorneys, Sean Hawley, who famously represented Lindsay Lohan as well as other celebrities, stated that she had informed Bauer not to testify because there is an ongoing criminal investigation here. The petitioner's side countered by saying that even if he's not going to testify, he must nonetheless take the stand. And if he's going to invoke his Fifth Amendment right on every question, then that is his right, but he needs to take the stand, which sets up for what could be a really interesting proceeding this week. Now, Bauer's side has strongly denied the allegations throughout. They've said that the interactions between Bauer and the woman were wholly consensual. Essentially, what they've been trying to prove through text message exchanges is that she was fine with the encounters. That obviously is a point that the petitioner's side strongly denies.
And over the weekend, Alden, Trevor Bauer's camp, they responded further on this. His attorneys weighed in on the photos released of her injuries. How would you characterize what they say?
So in their latest filings, Bauer's attorney said that the woman, quote, submitted photos of her alleged injuries that appear to be edited or filtered in a manner to give a misleading or false impression. Now, further, his team said that the woman was seeking the restraining order only to gain publicity that compels a financial settlement. They presented text said to show that the woman telling a friend, quote, they think he's going to try to settle with me, offer me major cash, then make me sign an NDA. But Bauer's attorneys then state that no settlements or cash offers have or ever will be made. And to be clear, there is no compensation involved in any way in the hearing this week.
Also this weekend, Alden, the Washington Post ran an article about Bauer revealing that an Ohio woman had accused him of punching and choking her during sex in their three-year relationship. So what does that new reporting say, and what was Bauer's response to it?
So the Washington Post reported on Saturday that there was a woman in Ohio who also sought a temporary restraining order last year. The two had what Bauer's side described as a, quote, on and off, wholly consensual relationship from 2016 to 2019. But the woman alleged, through her lawyers, that Bauer punched her and choked her during sex without consent and expressed menacing behavior throughout those years, which motivated her to obtain that temporary restraining order. Now, that order was dismissed by the woman 6 weeks later, in July of 2020, after Bauer's lawyers threatened legal action, according to that report by the Washington Post. There was also a civil lawsuit that was drafted but was never filed. Now, Bauer's lawyers point to that, as well as a string of text messages showing Bauer wanting to end the relationship, which Bauer actually posted on his Twitter page on Saturday, as proof that, in their mind, this was an extortion attempt.
So what we've got, Alden, is a criminal investigation running alongside today's hearing in family court. And Major League Baseball, it is worth noting, is also investigating here as well to determine what penalties Bauer may be exposed to from their end. So How is all of that working?
It's interesting to note here, Pablo, that the threshold for Major League Baseball is notably different. Major League Baseball, through its domestic violence policy that was instituted in 2015, has the autonomy to issue suspensions in the absence of criminal charges. So there are a lot of different things at play here going on at once.
All right, Alden, after the break, with all those different things going on, we need to get into the timeline of events between Trevor Bauer and his accuser.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So I want to get to the timeline of the actual events that are in question, that are in dispute. I know all this became public via the court system, the restraining order request, but the interactions between Trevor Bauer and the plaintiff, they happened earlier. How did these people even know each other?
It began on April 18th when the woman tagged Trevor Bauer in an Instagram story. That led to the two of them communicating through direct message. And 3 days later, the woman going to Trevor Bauer's home, according to the information that was obtained in that declaration.
So they end up meeting in person, going from the internet into real life. And this was on April 21st into April 22nd. What does the woman say happened at that time?
So they agreed to have consensual sex, according to the declaration that was filed with that temporary restraining order. But according to that declaration, the woman said that Trevor Bauer became aggressive during sex. She says that he stuck his fingers down her throat aggressively, that he choked her unconscious, and he sodomized her without consent.
So, Alden, what do we know about what she did afterward? Did she tell anyone? Did she seek medical attention?
So the text messages that we had been privy to indicate that they continued to have a flirtatious dialogue, even though there might have been some elements of that first encounter that the woman was uncomfortable with. There was a text exchange even after that first meeting, which was initially leaked by Trevor Bauer's camp, but is now among the court documents that have been filed, that seemed to show that she was basically asking to be choked out during sex. And so they arranged to meet again in May.
So in May, Alden, and this is the thing that we're getting more information about now, because in May, what happens then? What do we know from documents and testimony about that evening?
So the woman claimed in her declaration that Bauer choked her out two more times, punched her all over her face, in her vagina, in her buttocks. She claimed that she couldn't stop crying and shaking, and that she told him that she believes that her body was having a trauma response from that. Now, she also claimed in that declaration that she woke up the next morning with two black eyes, a swollen jaw, 10 scratches on the right side of her face, bruised gums, a split lip, bruising on her vagina and on her butt, and a large lump on the top left side of her head. She checked herself into the ER in San Diego. She spoke to a couple of police officers from the San Diego Police Department that day. And then the next day, she gave a statement to Pasadena police officers.
So, Alden, that sounds incredibly disturbing. What happened with the police next?
So 3 days after that, Pablo, according to the declaration, she drove to Pasadena to conduct a cold call with Trevor Bauer, who had, according to her, continually been reaching out, expressing concern, really. And he continued to reach out in the weeks that followed that through the end of May, at which point Bauer's side said he didn't reach out any longer. They never had any communication after May 31st. A few weeks after that, on June 28th, representatives from the woman's side informed Trevor Bauer via text messages that this woman was going to obtain a temporary restraining order against them. That's according to some court documents that we had been made privy to. Later that night, Trevor Bauer pitched against the San Francisco Giants. The next day, the temporary restraining order was obtained. And 4 days after that, Major League Baseball placed Trevor Bauer on administrative leave. He has not been around the Dodgers since. This was on July 2nd. And a lot of people wonder if he ever will again.
So that restraining order that the plaintiff sought, Alden, why was that so important to her? Where were they in terms of their communications at this point?
Bauer's side has contested the ground with which she obtained that temporary restraining order. In a statement, they previously said that her grounds for doing so were, quote, baseless and defamatory because the two had not been communicating for several weeks by the time that she obtained it. But in her declaration, the woman gave the impression that she still felt threatened by Trevor Bauer, even though the two had not communicated. As a matter of fact, she wrote in that declaration, quote, I am terrified that he will again invite me to his home or how he will respond if I say no. And one of her attorneys issued a statement. He said, quote, in case after case, the law is extraordinarily clear. Supposed consent of the victim is not a defense to assault and battery, especially when it results in bodily harm.
All right, Alden, there is a lot more I need to know about this story after the break.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So the last time we saw Trevor Bauer pitch, Alden, it was back on June 28th. He started for the Dodgers against the Giants. How did that whole day unfold, and where have we gone from there?
So that morning, Pablo, on June 28th, Bauer was actually informed via text message, according to some court records that we saw, that the temporary restraining order was coming. Now, later that night, Bauer went out and he pitched against the San Francisco Giants, and he actually pitched really well. There was actually a moment at the end of the sixth inning, he records a strikeout to get out of a jam.
Bauer comes home and strikes him out, getting to chase the slider.
The crowd at Dodger Stadium is going nuts. He pounds his chest. He points to the crowd as he goes into the dugout. And a lot of people wonder if that will end up being the last pitch that he throws for the Dodgers. Several days after that, on July 2nd, Major League Baseball placed Trevor Bauer on administrative leave. That leave has been extended 5 separate times since. Now, it's important to point out that this leave is not considered punishment. This is an avenue for the league to place players while investigations continue to unfold. Trevor Bauer is still being paid. He's still accruing service time, but as I said, he can't be around the team, and he hasn't been since early July.
So as Major League Baseball is putting Trevor Bauer in this sort of sports purgatory in the meantime, a focal point in recent weeks has been these text messages between Trevor Bauer and the accuser. How did those even become public, Alden? From which side did those get released?
So Trevor Bauer's side filed a motion asking the judge to bar testimony from an expert witness that was requested by the woman's side. And within that motion, Trevor Bauer's attorneys continued to try to hammer home the point that the sexual encounters between them were consensual. And in an effort to do that, they included more text messages exchanged with the woman and other parties. This one involved the woman and the cousin. And within that text message, the woman tells the cousin that although she was physically harmed, the sexual encounter was consensual.
For the Dodgers, who seem to be making moves to prepare themselves for life without Trevor Bauer for the rest of the season, what is your sense on how his teammates and the team see all of this?
So I thought the night of August 4th was very telling. It was a really highly anticipated game against the Houston Astros. It was a sold-out crowd. Dodger Stadium was buzzing. And Max Scherzer, the man who was acquired to essentially replace Trevor Bauer, dominated the Astros.
The 1-2. He struck him out. Blew it by him. 10 Ks in his Dodger debut.
And he got a curtain call from the crowd when he was done with his outing. And I was at the ballpark that night. At that point, Bauer felt, to me at least, like he was something of an afterthought. The Dodgers have seemingly just tried to distance themselves from him in the weeks since these allegations were made public. They canceled his bobblehead night. They removed all of his merchandise from the team stores, and no teammate has come out in public support of him. Now, to be fair, no teammate has come out and publicly condemned him either. But the sense just being around the team has almost become as if Trevor Bauer doesn't exist right now. At this point, Pablo, you would be hard-pressed to find anybody within the sport who actually believe that Trevor Bauer will actually pitch this season. And there are a lot of people who can't fathom him putting on a Dodgers uniform again because of the allegations that surround him.
And another layer to all of this, Alden, that makes it all even more jarring is that Trevor Bauer was a crown jewel of the Major League Baseball offseason, right? I mean, the contract he signed, the choice he had between the Mets and the Dodgers, remind us what that conversation around him was like at that point.
You're absolutely right. Trevor Bauer was one of the most highly sought after free agents. He had just won the Cy Young Award in 2020. He was by far the best pitcher available. The Dodgers were coming off a World Series championship, obviously. They had a lot of great starting pitching depth. But you look at what the division rival San Diego Padres did over the offseason. Trading for Yu Darvish. Trading for Blake Snell. Trading for Joe Musgrove. That division became something of an arms race that might have pushed the Dodgers to maybe go a little bit above their means to acquire a player like Trevor Bauer, who, and just looking at this from a strictly a baseball standpoint, was somebody who was not going to cost them prospects, was somebody who was going to require a high dollar figure to sign him, but if you structured it in such a way, it would have been a short-term contract that would have maintained their payroll flexibility. And that's basically what he was looked at. But within the background, Pablo, and especially in January, going into February, there were also some reported concerns of people taking a microscope to his previous social media history and sort of raising some red flags around that as well.
So Trevor Bauer ends up becoming, thanks to the Dodgers, the highest paid player in Major League Baseball this year. Alden, he makes around $40 million this year, but his online presence, to just sum it up here, it was conspicuously problematic and often indefensible, especially toward women. How would you describe his use of social media? Why was it worrisome before any of these allegations even surfaced?
Yeah, in short, Pablo, he has been characterized as something of a cyberbully. And the most prominent incident came in January of 2019 when Trevor Bauer retaliated against a female college student during a dispute on Twitter where he researched her history. He posted content of her drinking alcohol before turning 21 and tweeted at her 17 times unprompted, which led to his very large flock of followers, which was about 400,000 at the time, harassing her, basically, is what she alleged. And there had been other instances of Bauer doing something similar. The simplest way to put it, and maybe this is an oversimplification, is that he is just a very polarizing athlete. And the Dodgers, their concerns were mostly centered around what stupid thing is he going to post on social media?
So Alden, as you look ahead to the week that you have in front of you, where does all of this go from here?
Well, it seems, Pablo, as if everybody, and by everybody I mean the Pasadena Police Department, the District Attorney's Office, and Major League Baseball, is almost waiting for this civil hearing, this otherwise uneventful civil hearing, to take place to see what the next step is going to be. This is going to play out over 2, 3, 4 more days in LA County Superior Court. And it seems as if people are waiting on witness testimony, on evidence that's going to be shared over the course of these hearings to decide what's next. The most important step here is obviously the criminal investigation that is still ongoing. But from that, and perhaps even before that concludes, Major League Baseball's got to make a decision as to what type of punishment Trevor Bauer is going to have, how long his suspension is going to be, if there is one. And I think what plays out in that courtroom at the Stanley Moss Courthouse over these next few days is going to be very instructive as to how Major League Baseball proceeds and perhaps even how Pasadena Police proceeds with this case.
Alden Gonzalez, thank you for your reporting on a really complicated story.
Thank you, Pablo.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.